And now, the Sandhills' number one morning show, Mornings with the Leader Man, here on Talk 97.3 FM, 104.1 FM, and 990 AM WEEB. And heard and seen around the world at talk973.com.
The best part of waking up is waking up with us.
I love to eat turkey, cause it's good. Love to eat turkey like a good boy should, cause it's turkey to eat. So good. Turkey for me, turkey for you. Let's eat the turkey in my big brown shoe. Love to eat the turkey at the table. I once saw a movie with Betty Grable. Eat that turkey all night long. 50 million Elvis fans can't be wrong. Turkey lurkey do and turkey lurkey dap. I eat that turkey, then I take a nap. Thanksgiving is a special night. Jimmy Walker used to say dynamite. That's right. Turkey with gravy and cranberry. Can't believe the Mets traded Darryl Strawberry. Turkey for you and turkey for me. Can't believe Tyson gave that girl BD.
Good morning, Talk 97.3 FM, 104.1 FM, and 990 AM WEEB. Welcome back to Mornings with the Leader Man. My name is Brad LaDronca, filling in for Steve, the Leader Man, this morning. Alongside me, as always, is Moore County's one and only Mr. Stephen Woodward. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Brad. Good morning, Leader Man. Good morning, everybody, on this wonderful Wednesday pre-Thanksgiving day in the Sandhills.
Also in studio, Gus Sams joining us for this half hour of the program. Good morning, Gus. How are you?
I'm great, Brad. Good morning, Sand Hills, and get ready to gobble till you wobble.
Let's board the Gus bus.
Weather for us today here in the Sand Hills, you're looking at a high of 62 degrees under mostly sunny skies. Lows this evening dipping down into the upper 40s to low 50s. Rain chances creeping in for tomorrow, although it looks like it's starting to lower in its possibilities, but I would still expect later in the day to be prepared for some potential wet weather on and off. Otherwise, leading into the weekend, we're going to see a dramatic cool down here. Starting Saturday, highs only in the mid-40s and lows in the mid-20s through the rest of next week. So it's definitely going to get cold and going to taste and feel like winter out there. Yes, well, you can taste the air.
Winter-ish.
All right, let's get on into it because we have ourselves a very special guest joining us by phone, one Miss Marianne Keene. Good morning, Marianne. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. Thanks for having me.
We appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to come on with us here today.
Well, I'm glad to be here, and thankfully I don't have too much of a busy schedule for the calm couple days around the holiday, so I'm glad to be here.
So, Marianne Keene, she serves as Director of Creative at BMI's Nashville office, where she plays a pivotal role in shaping the careers of emerging and established talent. Her primary focus is on identifying and signing new artists, while also creating strategic opportunities for BMI affiliates, guiding songwriters through the intricacies of the music industry. Lord, I can't read it this morning. Beyond that, though,
it's kind of a shame that we had to lead in this show with Adam Sandler, given the fact that we're talking to a music talent agent.
I know. I thought about that, but, you know, it is Thanksgiving, and that is a all-time great favorite Thanksgiving song.
Hey, I can appreciate his work.
All right.
Good stuff.
Beyond your professional endeavors, Marianne, you're committed to giving back, and you serve on the Pediatric Oncology Advisory Council for Johns Hopkins Hospital, advocating for the National Marrow Donor Program, correct?
That's correct, yes. So I actually received a bone marrow transplant in 2004. I had severe aplastic anemia, which is an autoimmune blood disorder that can only be treated by a bone marrow transplant. So I received the transplant from my older brother in 2004, and it was successful, and so I've gotten to give back in that realm in a lot of different ways, with the hospital that I was treated at, and with the donor registry program is a special one, because I realized how lucky I was to have a match in my family that was available to me. If I didn't have a match, I would have gone to the registry, so I like to support the National Marrow Donor Program to try to help others who are in a similar situation that I was find a match so they can continue on just like I have.
So tell us a little bit about the National Marrow Donor Program. What is it specifically? And if an individual wants to sign up to the program, what would they expect, or how does that all work?
Well, there are a couple of misconceptions about donating bone marrow, and when I received my transplant 20 years ago, it was pretty different than it is now. These days, when you sign up, you would get a kit in the mail that's kind of like a swab, similar to how you've probably done a COVID test in the last few years, where it's just kind of like a long Q-tip, and you swab your cheek on both sides, send in the swab back to the registry, and they'll take basically your DNA information and have it in our system, so that if someone reaches out needing a bone marrow match, they'll match with, you know, they'll check it against everyone they have in the system and see if they have someone who's going to work for a transplant. So when you sign up, basically you're just giving your DNA information to be in the system. And it could be 2 years or it could be 15 years before they call you, you know, to say, we've had a match for you and we need you to donate.
What is the actual process of actually donating the bone marrow? Because I don't know how that works. What is it, blood? Tell us a little bit about that process.
Bone marrow has the consistency of blood, but slightly thicker. So it would come out of your arms in the same way that you would donate blood or platelets. That's a lot different than it was 20 years ago, before it was a more invasive surgery as far as like full anesthesia and everything. These days, you go donate with like an IV in your arms, and they are able to separate the blood from the stem cells, give you back the blood cells that they don't need, and take the stem cells for the donation. So the pain level is as much as an IV prick with a needle.
So it's a relatively non-invasive procedure then. So basically anybody can do it and it not really, you know, bother them, so to speak of.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the people ask me all the time, well, why wouldn't everyone do this? And I say, you know, I don't know. I guess they just don't really know about it. Because to be able to, I mean, to have someone allow them to live for, you know, for maybe 20 years longer and hopefully 20, 40 more, you know, is a pretty big deal. So I like to explain to people that your stem cells will replenish within 4 to 6 weeks, and the downtime is basically zero. It's just the donation day. And then we raise money for covering the cost of transportation to the location that you need to donate, and you're able to bring a companion with you when you donate. So there shouldn't be any cost to the donor. So that's why we also are raising money. You know, my efforts are twofold. It's raising money to support those costs and getting more people to join. I will say that you have to be between 18 and 40 to sign up for the registry, And if you're already signed up before you turn 41, you can donate until you're 60 years old.
I'm out of that picture then.
It's nice to have some idea of the parameters, but, you know, they want to have the healthiest cells possible available to the people who need it.
Well, Mary Ann, that being said, this is Steve Woodward, by the way. Thank you for joining us. That being said, I suppose you probably, or the organization, makes a concerted effort to build awareness of this donor program in high schools, colleges, and universities when you have that prime age group who are eligible to donate. Is that a fair assumption?
Yes. They are mostly going, as far as schools, they're going to colleges, you know, to make sure they're talking to people 18 and up. But the people at the registry have been so incredibly cooperative. I had an event in Nashville to celebrate my 20-year anniversary, and they sent a representative out who was able to speak to all my friends and all the guests at the party and just tell more information about everything. And so I just want to encourage you guys that if you hear of a college that may be interested in this, please reach out to them. They're really accommodating. And I would be sure that they'd want to come to your college, too, if that's something you're interested in.
We do, in fact, have a very fine community college here, Sand Hills Community College in Pinehurst, North Carolina. And I suspect that they would be receptive to that. Now, do tell us, is there an annual awareness day that we should know about for this program?
That's a good question for the registry as a whole. My personal day is October 26th because that's when I received my transplant. So, I do something special every year and try to raise awareness and share information on social media. But maybe we should make that the official day.
Why not?
I'm up for it.
Now, you said you do your own party on an annual basis and raise money. Can anybody go and be a part of this organization and help raise money? And what is the overall goal for the database on like an annual basis? How much do they look to raise?
Well, that's a really good question. I don't know exactly how much they need in order to operate, but I do know that the donors aren't paying anything out of pocket. So I think the challenge for some people is to say, well, you know, I can't miss two days of work in order to do this. Well, we make sure that your pay is covered and that you're compensated fairly to not miss out on anything. We would hate for, you know, a paycheck to come in the way of somebody being able to live for a donation. So they have so much information on the website, nmdp.org. So a little bit more in the nitty-gritty of those details will be on that website.
Say that website again. I didn't hear it clearly.
It's the initials for National Marrow Donor Program. So it's nmdp.org.
Okay. Now, I just wanted you to reiterate that in case anybody missed that there.
And we're going to have that up on our station's website as well.
Yeah, we can put that up there for sure, definitely.
Dorothy's got that going on.
And I have my personal donation page where I've raised close to $7,000. We were trying to get up to at least 10. So I believe you guys have my personal donation page, so if you don't mind sharing that, I would really appreciate it.
Yeah, and we definitely will do that as well for you, Mary Ann. Steven, you have any other questions?
No, but we thank you very much for joining us, and I think that this is a fabulous program, and I would also I imagine that we should urge individuals within their own families to be aware of their match potential in the event that one of their loved ones would require a transplant. That would be the first step toward preparedness, I would imagine.
Yeah. Mary Ann, I appreciate you coming on this morning. I know it's You're a little bit earlier than we are out there in Nashville time-wise, so thank you for getting up early and joining us this morning. It's great to spread the awareness of this. Like I said, I didn't realize how easy it was or really what it was. You hear somebody say bone marrow, you think of some painful procedure of some sort, but I appreciate you sharing your information with us. We'll be sure to put your info up on our website, so if any of our listeners want to donate, feel free to go to our website, weeb990.com.
Thank you for having me, and thanks for the opportunity to share about the National Marrow Donor Program.
You're welcome. Thank you, Mary Ann.
Y'all have a great Thanksgiving.
All right, bye now.
Bye.
All right. That was Mary Ann Keene giving us some very good information regarding the National Marrow Donor Program. Like I said, we'll have her information up on our website here probably later today. If you want to go check out anything, if you want to help support her and the cause, please do so, especially in the season of the holidays and Thanksgiving and all that, when friends and family are top of our mind, and you never know who you could touch and the things that you can do in somebody else's life to give them a better life.
Absolutely. By the way, you know what the word of the day is today on Thanksgiving Eve?
What is the word of the day?
Listen carefully. Bhattacharya. That's right. Say
is
it.
That an English word?
Say it with me, everybody. Bhattacharya.
What in the world is that?
Dr. J. Bhattacharya of Stanford University is Donald Trump's pick to become head of the National Institutes of Health, where he would replace the likes of Dr. Anthony Fauci.
Oh, thank God.
Dr. Bhattacharya was one of the authors of the Great Barrington Declaration of 2020, which was signed by innumerable medical experts denouncing many of the COVID restrictions that were placed on our country by Fauci and Francis Collins and these other scumbags in the medical industrial complex. And Dr. J. Bhattacharya will be a force of nature reforming the National Institutes of Health, which have been heavily compromised for all these decades by little unaccountable unaccountable Tony. In fact, Bhattacharya in an interview on Fox News not long ago pointed out that Fauci and Francis Collins created an illusion of scientific consensus around their ideas and then marginalized anyone that disagreed with them, even though there wasn't a scientific consensus. He goes on to say that they showed a pattern of behavior that reflects an abuse of power by American scientific bureaucrats at the very top of our scientific bureaucracies. So this is another reason to celebrate the outcome of 5 November Election Day, that we now will have reform in yet another important one of these unaccountable heretofore agencies. First, we're going to have, of course, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Overseeing the entire MAHA movement, Make America Healthy Again, with the assistance of people like Dr. Bhattacharya and, of course, the newly appointed now I'm going to draw a blank on the other individual that's coming in to aid
Dr. Oz. Are you thinking about Dr.
Mehmet
Oz?
Mehmet Oz, yes, he'll be in the mix as well. And so anyway, this is a very exciting development. Just came out yesterday as Trump continues to round out his appointments, and of course soon we'll be entering the dramatic confirmation season for all of these candidates. And of course the left and their compliant media gnomes will be will be gnashing their little teeth trying to derail these appointments, but I suspect they will largely fail once they get in before the members of the Senate.
That's going to be a clown show.
Yeah, but it is.
You got to do it.
You got to do it. Speaking of another major issue coming or stemming and leading up to what we had on November 5th, the border itself. So yesterday.
How about that?
Huh? How about the border? Yesterday, Fox News had Lieutenant Chris Olivares of the Texas Department of Public Safety on speaking about children coming into the United States alone. Listen to what he has to say.
It truly is, disturbing, Lawrence, to see that. Yesterday alone, actually on Sunday, we had a two-year-old from El Salvador that came across by herself, and that was a very powerful video in itself. But we continue to see these unaccompanied children coming across the border by themselves. And we know that, obviously, the cartels are behind that. They are, exploiting these children. And these children are also put in danger when they're coming across the border. And that's why I always say that nothing has ever been put in place to protect the safety and security of these children when they're coming across. Over 500,000 children in the last 4 years have come across that southern border.
Jeez.
And yet to date, no one at all has put anything in place to try to protect these children. But yet, the state of Texas, when we placed, water barriers, we placed infrastructure along the river, we were getting criticized saying that was inhumane, that we were injuring people that were coming across the border. But yet, we're saving lives. We're trying to deny illegal immigration, but also protect these children so they don't have to cross a dangerous river and also exploit themselves in a criminal network that's right. Being exploited by the cartels.
You got right now somewhere in the neck of the woods, what was it, 15,000 children that have come across the border that are unaccounted for?
Oh, I think it's
a lot more than that. But
and Tom Homan, the new border czar, has expressed that one of his priorities, in addition to securing the border more fully, is to find these kids. There are hundreds of thousands of these children who are unaccounted for, who were brought here by cartel drug runners, using them as basically human shields. And if you saw that video in the last day or two of this small, frail child with a little piece of paper in her hand, and they're asking, the border agent is asking her, where are your mom and dad? Where are your parents? And she just said, Estados Unidos. They're somewhere in our homeland.
Yeah.
And she is separated from them. And there she stands at the border, this child, unaccompanied.
It's crazy. Tom Homan was down in Texas Monday and yesterday with Governor Greg Abbott. Tom Homan was on Sean Hannity's Fox News program Monday night, where he was asked about the Denver mayor saying that he wasn't going to assist ICE, and this is what Tom had to say about that.
Tom, you heard this mayor out there in Colorado. I want to get your reaction to it, and I want you to be clear about who has jurisdiction, the federal government or state and local governments. And if you're a sanctuary state or city, are you breaking the law?
You're absolutely breaking law. All you have to do is look at Arizona versus U.S. You'll see these breaking law. But look, me and the Denver mayor, we agree on one thing. He's willing to go to jail. I'm willing to put him in jail. Because there's a statute. It's Title 8 United States Code 1324III. And what it says is, it's a felony if you knowingly harbor and conceal an illegal alien from immigration authorities. It's also a felony to impede a federal law enforcement officer. So if we don't want to help, that's fine. He can get the hell out of the way. But we're going to go do the job. President Trump has a mandate for American people. We got to secure this country. We got to save American lives. And I find it shocking that any mayor of a city would say, President Trump's been clear, we want to concentrate on public safety threats and national security threats. I find it hard to believe that any mayor or governor would say they don't want public safety threats removed from their neighborhoods. I mean, I don't know what the hell is going on in Denver, but we're going to go and we're going to fix it. If he don't want to fix it, if he don't want to protect his communities, President Trump and ICE will.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest takeaway, that a lot of people are looking at this and saying, oh, Trump's just going to deport everybody. He's going to round everybody up, put them in a camp and deport them right away. They're going to be targeting the most heinous people first.
Absolutely.
The people trafficking human individuals, the drug cartels, the murderers, the people committing crimes, all of those are the ones that we're going to go after first and deport first. Anybody that's coming here under a humanitarian reason, I would say. I'm sure they're going to try to work with them to get them, you know, however. If you're coming here under honest to God, I want to be here, we're going to probably figure a way to help them, you know, become and do it the right way.
Well,
and that's the key. Anybody can come here, but you need to do it the right way.
Yes. I mean, we need not remind anyone that we do have legal paths to citizenship.
Yeah.
That are followed every day of the week by very grateful legal immigrants who then come into our country and assimilate here and live the American dream. That hasn't changed. But this idea of drawing a false equivalency between someone like that and a criminal who has been released from a prison in Venezuela, who is a young, healthy, battle-ready young man who is here for no other reason than to foment crime and violence in our homeland, that equivalency just is completely false. And that is why Tom Homan is going to become an American hero when we get these people the heck out of here and deport them aggressively. And God help any mayor of any city or governor of any state that tries to deter this, because they will fail miserably. And I suspect they will have a very limited political future.
Well, I mean, look at Democrat mayor from New York City, Mayor Eric Adams. I mean, he's been shouting from the rooftops about how bad it is. There were some, you know, reports coming out of New York City where these Trende Agua gang members are just shooting at officers.
Yeah.
They're teenagers and they're, you know, 12, 13, 14 years old, going in and doing these smash and grab robberies, holding, you know, people up by gunpoint and knife point in the city, you know, robbing them. And what happens is they go out and do this crime and then they go and assimilate back into
right. The
Hispanic community. And there's no fingerprints of these people. There's, you know, no record of these people in the court system. Yep. And in New York, what's happening is they're getting arrested for the first time and they're getting released back out, no bond, no bail, because of the stupid laws of New York.
Brad, I would like to wish you and Gus a happy Thanksgiving weekend. And of course, we should remind everyone that we will not be here in the studio tomorrow on Thanksgiving or on Friday.
Yeah. We are taking a couple day break to spend time with our friends and family. Steven, I want to see some pictures of your feast that you are cooking, because Lord knows you're probably going to have a spread, I'm sure.
We're going to be blessing the hounds tomorrow morning, and then we're going to be having some tailgate delicacies.
All right, from all of us here at WEEB, have a safe and happy Thanksgiving, and we'll see you back here next week.
When I come back, you'd better be laughing.
So, what have we learned? Heck, I don't know. But this is one crazy show. Bye now.
Cut, cut. That's it. Go home, everybody. None of this ever happened.
Well, y'all come back now, you hear?
I think we're through here.
Yeah, man. Thank you very much, man. That's pretty much all I got, man.
Okay, class dismissed. Rock on!
Well, let me tell you something. Everything comes to an end.
Broadcasting from the top of the North Carolina Sandhills, 97.3 FM, 104.1 FM, and 990 AM, WEEB, Southern Pines, Pinehurst.
News.